Well, call her that, we're still here. I have begun to realize something, and I keep hitting on it, but you know, until you understand it yourself, you really can't do much teaching or bringing something forth. I'm going to read some scriptures, because I have been waking up in the morning with a whole package. I don't even know if that's the right word, but a whole thing, and it keeps coming. You know how Jesus said we're slow learners? Well, we are. Our ears don't hear so good, the ringing in my one ear don't help me any, you know, in the natural. I'm going to read some scriptures, just from one scripture to the next, starting in the 15th chapter of John, or in the 14th chapter in John, in the 15th verse. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In the 15th chapter, in verse 10, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." In verse 14, he says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And so, anyway, the first commandment, the big one, that's what it's noted. As a matter of fact, that's the only one that's never changed. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." That's kind of all-inclusive, I would say. It's like, "You shall." And I saw that and I thought, "You shall." It's not like it's an option. It's a requirement. So then the next thing is, and this is the question that has plagued everybody, including me, is how do you do it? Exactly, how do you do it? You know what? I just told you how to do it. I just read the scriptures. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So how do we express love towards God? Well, before we get bogged over with the fact that it's impossible to keep the commandments, that's really not what he's saying. If you love me, keep my word. If you love me, desire a love for truth. See, those are the verses, those are the things that we have been hitting on back and forth. I'm coming to the realization that the sign that we don't love them is when we're willing to take the word and privately interpret it to say something that we want it to say. I heard somebody make a statement. I didn't hear the individual make this statement. They talked about another person that said, "Well, I really like this verse." And it's like, man shall not live by this verse. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so what we need, we don't need this verse, we need the picture of these verses, of the whole picture. We need, what is the whole picture? I didn't know that the scripture existed in 2 Thessalonians that says, because they received not a love for the truth, so that they could be saved. I mean, okay, let's explain that verse. If they didn't receive a love for the truth so they could be saved, that means the only way you can receive a love for the truth, or the only way you can be saved, is to receive a love for the truth. Is that right? And so, anyway, Jesus says in John 17:17, he says, sanctify them. Make them holy through your truth. Your word is truth. That's what it said, John 17:17. And so, anyway, what is it that God has supernaturally allowed us to come into? We have come in to the only possible way that we can love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. I'm starting to get it. I'm a slow learner. The only way you can do that is to love His Word as we love Him. Because He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. A private interpretation of it? Uh-uh. No, it's pretty explained. That's not the right word, but it's explained pretty good how you receive a love for the truth. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So a private interpretation, I mean, it's a possibility if we're in love with God's truth, and if we're seeking for His truth, the private interpretation could have truth in it. But for the most part, most of what is out here is phony. I've been so much a part of the phony end of the thing for so long that God in His mercy wanted to deliver me from the thing, get me into the truth. I want the truth. I don't want Keith Gunn's theology or any of my theories. I don't want that anymore. Lord, what is the truth? I saw something the other day. We were watching A Price is Right, and there was a woman on there, and I told Joanna she was 89 years old. And anyway, and I looked at her and I thought, I wish I had that life. She's 9 years older than I am, and she's like a spry chicken, you know what I mean? And so what I did is, as I started, I prayed, and I said, Lord, there's no reason that I can't have a restoration of some youth. There's no reason. And so I prayed. And the next day, I began to walk, you know, down the hall and stuff, and I wasn't stumbling. And this morning, I took a shower without hanging onto the rail on the side. So something is happening, and I can feel it. And I keep telling Joanne, I said, God is answering that prayer. It's like we want to go ahead and stumble and whatever else in our, you know it's good then to tell people how bad off we are. You know, people like to do that. Oh, I hurt. You know, I just ache, and I got these pains, and that's human nature. But it's not the higher nature; it's the lower nature. And I'm not saying that everything is wonderful in my, but I feel younger. I don't know how to say it. I feel better. And the feeling better and having that right attitude is half of our problem, you know what I mean? But anyway, the way according to the Scriptures, and I tell you, I just read out of three different chapters in the book of John. The Bible is full of it. And after a while, I begin to realize everywhere you look, God says, if you love me, you love my word. If you love me, you love my word. Jesus said, if you love me, you love my word. If you do whatever I command you, that's to command loving His word, isn't it? And so there's a relationship. And it's like, we're starting to come into it. I tell you, the day is coming that we're going to really begin to understand what it means to love God.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And the thing is, I realize that I can't take and change his word to fit what I like it to say and love him.
Bless the God of all the universe, the creator of everything, and bless his precious son. I got up this morning and I started reading, and I have the word playing too right next to me. And by the time I got done, it's like right now I'm five times more excited than I was yesterday or when I first woke up. I mean, and you know, because I saw some things kind of for me too, and you know, commenting on that youth thing, I blow this gal's driveway out here across from the church here, and she was going to visit, and then she stopped this morning, paid me this time too, and going back to visit her mother who lives in Duran, who's 95 years old and living by herself still. You know, just like, and you know, I noticed this week, I went, you know, I turned 70 last month, and I was rejoicing. I mean, and I worked with Pablo this week, and I ended up taking out this big barrel that dumped into a tall roll-off box. Well, I couldn't hang on to it, so I had to let it go in. And I climbed up and in, dropped into the thing, and it's, you know, cold. And I thought, thank you, Lord, that I can do this, that I can still climb a tree with my climber, you know, and blow driveways out. It's, and I give it all to him. I mean, he's the one that blessed me for that. Who knows why, you know, he just puts certain things in genes and makes people a certain way, you know, but at the same time, I also got convicted this morning. And end of ages, remind me if I don't bring that up, okay? Something about that, in case I get care. I was thinking, I said, if I get up, you may have to set me down because excitement. But anyway, one of the things I saw is, you know, this setting up here. And people could say, well, but it only says that in one place. You know, I mean, that it says it just like that. And I thought, well, this morning it was no. Every word, every precept upon precept. And it just happened because I was in Hebrews. And so I'm just going to repeat some scriptures here. That gives us a setting of who the Father and the Son are. In chapter 7:25. Therefore, he also is able, speaking of Jesus, because this is about the high priest kind of, to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now, that's a little different word than what's up there, but he makes intercession for us forever. Or, I mean, until the end, I guess. Because then after that, everything will be satisfied. But then in chapter 8, verse 6, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator, which it says up there, of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And then in 9:24, and this really kind of establishes something. For Christ, who is what? Anointed one, correct? Has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Is that a mediator? Is that an intercessor? Yes. Then, you know, we quote this verse a lot, 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But in 24 it says, and now this is changing the subject just a little bit, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling, and then it goes on. And so that was just, oh, yeah, I threw that in because of the comments I had made last week about love, that, you know, I was starting to have a different thought about it and wanting it, you know. And then and then I got to chapter 12, 24. No, wait a minute. Chapter 12. Okay, here we go. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Okay. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. And I want to be careful not to maybe comment too much on it, because sometimes you can get excited, and I want to make sure it's in the Spirit and not in me, you know. But I felt an excitement because all of a sudden I just saw, I mean, and I had a desire to want and go share with this little ministry in Iowa. And it's a place for people that are either substance abuse and whatever. And we've had contact with them years ago. And I still get their little newsletter. And I've just been so affected because they emphasize the Word of God so strongly. And you hear the testimonies, and it's like, oh, it's like you're on the way. Do you want a little encouragement to where you could get to, you know, by this Word, by hearing? You know, that is an incredible thing. Why, after 2,000 years, does it seem like to hear him fits so well in a modern technology? I mean, normally we think, well, technology ruins everything that's, you know, sacred, kind of. But in this case, it doesn't. It enhances. I mean, you can literally hear him speak through this Word. Now, before that, if men stood up and read the New Testament Gospels and just read them and people listen, it'd be the same thing, which I think some of that was done. You know, that's how a lot of people stayed true. You know, I mean, I think there's always been a remnant throughout these last 2,000 years of true believers. They just weren't well known, a lot of them, for some reasons, maybe because maybe at that time they felt they didn't dare be known, you know, in a sense. I mean, but So I'm going to pray about it, and I want to pray about it, and I want to be open. But one of the things that really hit home a little bit this morning was, as I was reading, why didn't I write that down? But I think it was in Hebrews. Oh yes, it's when it's speaking of seeking a, you know, when Abraham and all those after him were seeking a better place, knew their home was not on earth. Well, there's a scripture in there that says, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it right now or not. I'll maybe ad lib a little or something, but. So it's going on about the faith. And then it says, but for those, I haven't found it yet. Well, it's a setting where they were seeking a better land. You know, and by faith they moved on, and they couldn't, they were living in tents. One of the cool things, though, was it said, and they were seeking a city or a land with foundations. And it's like, but it wasn't foundations for this earth. It was developing the foundations that get you to the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, you know. But it says, if any of those, when having seen that, oh, and it said, okay, this is where I got, it said, and they had no desire to go back to where they had come from. And you know where that hit me? I've been falling back into some stuff where I used to be. And it really woke me up. And I went, Lord, I do not want to become that. I don't want to be going back to anything in this worldly life that I've been. You know, I want to keep going on to the one that I can't see. You know, my kingdom that's not of this earth. But it was a good wake-up call because it showed me. Yeah, you know, and I've been seeing a lot of different places in the Gospels lately, by the way, that have been convicting me. And I think it's starting to have an effect because I think that's why I maybe saw a little bit of a vision for me, you know, for in the days to come somewhat. So then, end of the ages. You know, it says in one spot, and it's maybe Paul, and he's saying, and we have been given this at the end of the age. That's 2,000 years ago. But you know, and I couldn't find it. I tried looking this morning somewhere, and I think it's in the... It's probably in the Old Testament, Jeremiah or somewhere. I read this setting, and it said, and what of this, that a child was born before labor? And I went, wait a minute. That's almost like impossible. And then this morning, it just rang in my ears. See, we could sit and figure out the 3.5. You know how it says Jesus 3.5 years, and then there's another 3.5. And I thought, okay, well, is that like 3,500 years from when he came? You know, and boy, we ain't going to see that. And you know, the thing is, there's probably somebody or that has been given something by figuring out different things. And I thought, Lord, I don't want that. Because that, and he may let us do that and think that we have it, and it would totally line up. But I know my God, you know what? He's going to make it happen before that. And so it could be at any time. Now, you know, it just, because I just really don't think that because of this new covenant of when it come, is that it's going to be like 4,000 more years from when it came, like, you know, from creation to when Jesus came and whatever. And so it just, I just, all these little things are really starting to build a little bit of an excitement, you know. It's like, this could be a glorious time, you know. And not to care about what's going on politically or anything else, you know, other than maybe to look nigh, you know, depending on how it turns or goes or whatever. And you know what? If prosperity comes, you better really get on your face, you know, because that's a setup. You know what? I think if prosperity comes in a powerful way, you better start looking for when they want to start giving you a mark. Because I know that that's going to... You know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, when I heard that, I had no comprehension how that was going to come about. Now I see really how it could come about. I mean, they just implant, you know, a little chip. And that's how you go through the shopping line, and that's how you buy gas, and that's how you buy anything. Are you going to take that? See, that's a... And it's going to come up kind of sneakily and... And when you start saying no, everybody around you is going to think you're an idiot. if that's the way it would go down. I'm doing a little, you know, just looking, whatever. But, I mean, like your family, my kids, what would they think? You know? And I'm hoping somehow that they get the message from me or somebody else here in the next days coming, that that would somehow awaken anyone that I would present that to be on guard. And it would sit in their hearts. Because once you do that, that's it. You don't come back from when you receive the mark. There's a lot before that where you can come back from. But once you take the mark, that's it. That's pretty scary, isn't it? And I thought, well, how am I going to be subject? How am I going to put that in subjection? Well, real easily. Do I want to give up all the goods on this earth to have eternal life? Yes, I hope so. I hope that's my decision, you know, to live without the necessities. You know, it said they were in the hills and covered in the rocks and were in nothing hardly to wear because of their faith. Well, that could happen. And you know what, though? If the government won't let you buy anything to eat, God will provide. God always has provided for those who stood for Him. You know, and we've heard little stories. I mean, it's funny how these things, I don't know if any of you remember, but somebody came and gave a testimony about people, I don't know if it was Thailand or somewhere, but they ended up like walking across a river. Yeah, and then people that had no food and it would just show up. They were in the jungle or whatever and had went days and then all of a sudden they had food. Or they were just kept. They were never feeling hunger. Well, yes, my God can do that. Gee, I mean, He created this universe. If He doesn't want me to eat and He still wants me to sustain, I will. You know? And God bless you, Keith, that came through to you about that lady. Because it's true. And it's not wrong to ask that of God. I don't think. You know. I mean, obviously, Paul had certain things that he had to live with. Many of them did. And God, I've seen where He's used people like that. And that's fine. But that doesn't mean that you know, and if He gives you that, you'll know it. You know, if He gives you an affliction and He says, you know, this will keep you humble. And if you get that message, you know what? You'll just keep going on. But that doesn't mean that you might still not do exploits, you know, or whatever. I'm amazed. I mean, just not to, you know, make you stand out, Keith, but your attitude has been marvelous. I mean, you just, I'm stumbling around. You just accept it. You know, and you know what? I have found as you get older, it's a little easier to do that because you know what? You can't do anything about it. You know, I mean, there's certain things that I bump my head all the time. It's like, gosh, I just got rid of this scab up here. Now I got another one, you know. And you just, but at the same time, it's like I'm not getting depressed over it because, well, so what? But I got all these other good things I can do, you know. So what if I'm bumping my head? You know, I'm riding my bike 3,000 miles. So, you know, who cares? So, I mean, just stuff like that. It's amazing. So you know what? I really feel, and I hope I'm not kind of stepping out beforehand, get excited. Because I think something's coming. I mean, and I don't think it's that far off. I think it's real close. Because some of it, for quite a few months or year, and I've really been trying to just contain and just be satisfied and patient. I've been trying to be patient. But there's been so many times it's like, I want to shout it out, or I want to give it to some. I want to, you know, but at the same time, I knew I wasn't in the right place, and I don't think I'm quite there yet either, but it's really close. And it's getting exciting thinking of it that way, you know? And I can't think of a, like some visions might be, God, if I could just go stand before a 3,000 member congregation and bring this truth. I mean, that's, if God said, but I thought, here's this, and I went to this little missionary, or this little place, you know, in Iowa, because I dropped off a check once on the way down, because it was kind of, it was on the way to my mom's, where she was living. And it's just this little house, couple of houses. And they're all in there, 25, 30 little bitty rooms, you know, and, but, geez, they're testimonies. It's just, they don't care that they don't, and they don't get anything there. And if you stay on and work as, you know, a part of it, you really don't get any pay. They just take care of you. You know, you get to eat and you get a place to sleep. And then you help others coming in. I mean, I thought, geez, you know, how far away have we been from that for a while? Or me, I'll speak for myself. But humble little setting in this dinky little town in Iowa, you know. Now, they have different ones all over the country somewhat, but say, I'm sure it's the same thing, you know. And I just thought, God, would that be a great place for the glory of God to break out, you know. Whatever. But, and I don't want to start having visions of my own, only what he gives. But, you know, it's just, it's exciting. God bless you. I did bring that, yeah, about the fact that there was this... the ages, about the being born, child born before labor. I mean, I just, boy, that struck me. You know, because there's the one in Revelation 12 where the devil stands before and, you know, and it says, bring forth the son and who went on. But she went through labor. This setting was no labor, you know. So that's odd that was in there. It just seemed to, and why it all of a sudden stood out, you know. And I just think it has some meaning. And so.
I'm close enough up here I can beat all but the fast ones. If you're fast enough, you can beat me. but I just want to say just one thing here, just, and that's in Psalms 1. Which reminded me of some things that Ken was bringing. And I read that scripture even in the last few years, how many times without seeing what the scripture said. It says, you know, blessed is the man, and then skipping down, I'm still talking about blessed is the man, verse 2, whose delight is in the law, which is the word written on men's hearts. That's what it is. The law will be written on their hearts. Is that what God is doing? Blessed is the man whose delight, meaning what? His joy, his excitement, his, that's what that word delight means. Doesn't it? He's excited about it. And so what God is doing to us is supernatural. I'm experiencing a supernatural thing. I'm excited about that word. I can understand, in a measure, Smith Wigglesworth and some people. Smith Wigglesworth was called the one-book man, the apostle of faith, and a lot of other things. He wouldn't let anything in his house except God's word. If somebody came with a newspaper, he said, you can leave it on the outside, but you can't bring it in. You've heard that, haven't you? I mean, that was his testimony. And it's like, he was delighted in God's word. And so the time came that he worked with a minister. You know, he would go and he'd pray for people and God would heal people and the minister would preach. And one day the minister got sick and so they had him preach. And he says, I can't preach. I'm not a preacher. I can't preach. But he did. And, he just had that kind of a ministry. But what happened after a while, he was so full of the word that things begin to happen, because if that is who we are, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my word abides, lives in you, you can ask what you will. You know what I want? I want that word in me so I can ask what I will.
know what Ken brought regarding the woman who had a child before labor. That kind of got to me, you know. On the one hand, hey, you read the gospel, 50 A.D. or whenever, you know, and the return of Christ is imminent. He's coming soon. That didn't happen. He's way, 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 way late. But if the baby is born before labor, he's also way early. You know what I mean? So it's just so characteristic of the Lord to confound us in that way. Way late, but too early. Way late, but too early, you know? You know, he'll come as a thief in the night, but not to those who know him, you know. He's way late, but too early. You know, where is the promise of his coming? He's way late. But he'll come as a thief in the night, way, way before we're expecting him. So the only thing you can be sure of is that our God is a confounding Lord. He's confounding. Also, I want to... It is remarkable the extent to which Keith has vitality. Yeah, he stumbles around, but there's vitality there. And Ken, too, you know, just remarkable vitality. 70-year-old man. And Gene and I, my vitality is, you know, less than our years. Joanne's is, and Sieber's too. And that is a blessing from the Lord. That's a blessing.
Yes.
You know? But I think we are being asked to new hours too. I think I'm right about that, aren't I? Marta Quinas don't need it. They're already young. But anyway, I think with the things he is asking to do, that's what we will need. We'll need a vitality that just is not indicated by the number of years that we've lived. Keith, he's 80. Well, in spiritual terms, well, let him be a 45-year-old man instead. You know, whatever, 35. Joanne, let her behave like a 30-year-old woman. And Ken, yeah, let him root around in the garbage here. No, that wasn't what you said. I realize that, but... And Gene and me too, to be able to do things that are just a whole lot not indicated by our chronological age. You know, that is what I think there's an indication something like that's going on. We'll be as Moses, 80 years old, just starting out in his ministry.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know that just happens. It doesn't just happen. I think we have to seek it too. So let me seek it here with you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the level of vitality that we have, the youth, the ways in which we just do not act our age. But Lord, for us to accomplish those things that you would surely want us to accomplish, Lord, we ask for more of that, Lord. Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that there would be youthful vitality, that it would just be shocking how young we are, given our age. Have it just be shocking. Lord, by your Spirit, do that good work in us, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do that good work.
Yes.
Mm.
I would never have put me in that category with being more energetic than my age, but whatever. I'll take it if you'll do it. I think I'm way behind times, but no, yeah, right. Okay, whatever. But however, I was reminded by a brother today, so I've been thinking about it, and I thought, well, yes, I'm going to give a testimony. You know, a year ago, my mother passed away in October a year ago. And so I suppose it was, you know, later October or in November, I have a recollection of this happening. And that's why I remember. And one of my nieces reminded me the other day. She said, remember we were walking around the, I was helping you walk. I was helping you walk. And you would go, oh, I can see that because it's bright red. Or I can see this because it's bright pink, but I couldn't really tell what it was. You know, that was just a little over a year ago. Do you know that I've been driving my car? Do you know that I can see enough that I drove into Eau Claire the other day and things like that? And it's like I forgot I was as bad as I was. You know, when my mother passed away, the reason I put that for a time frame was because, you know, we got all these cards and we had to open them and look at them, and I was doing this. Because I was moving it around trying to pick out words, you know, and trying to write things. And my siblings were laughing at me, you know. Jean moves the page and then her head moves, you know. I was trying to see the letters on the other side of the big black spot that was in my vision. And I know that was, you know, sometime after October 11th, because that's when my mother passed away. So, and this is only in December, and so it's a year later. So, yeah, God has just done that for me, and I'm really very, very happy and excited about it, and I give him the glory. And, you know, this eye looks funny, and I can't see out of it, and I don't care until I look in the mirror or see a picture or someone takes me and it looks all funky. But the vision in this eye has it's been improving, just as steadily improving. And do you think he can fix this one? He can.
Sure.
If he wants, if I need it, if there's a reason, if it would, you know, probably be a testimony, I would say would be the main reason for it. Because if I'm functioning good with one, I don't know what difference it makes. But for someone to go, oh, your eye just is not white anymore, that might, you know. Yeah, let me tell you, God did this. I am also excited, like Ken said. And, you know, it's common. I don't know what, but it's common. And we'll all have our own little place. You know what Joanne's going to do? She's going to go to her sister's house. She's going to have her sister invite all of her little old lady friends over. We planned this morning. And because they like to be prayed for, and they all have aches and pains, and they hurt, and Joanne's going to minister to them. That doesn't 3,000 people? We don't need that. Joanne, with these people, one-on-one, praying for them. You know, I can really see God moving. Yeah, that's where Joanne goes. Yep, that's exactly what she does. And maybe Ken will be down at that ministry down there. But, you know, I don't know. I have found my ministry somewhat in very odd places. And I just, you know, I don't know. We'll just see where it goes. You know, I went to this great big rock concert for 3 days off with a whole bunch of hippies and my friend Bob. But do you know that I spent There was times I was walking around this house we were staying in going, oh, Father, thank you, Father. You're such a good father, you know. And he's going, what? What are you saying? I said, oh, I'm just thanking God because he's so good. He's a good father and he really loves me. You know, I'm saying this to him. And then he got up one day with a really, really bad headache. And I prayed for him. I mean, so that's my weird little ministry. I'm not, you know, or sit down at Acoustic Cafe and go, Jeff, I had a dream about you. You know, because I'd forgotten about it. And him going, yeah, what? And I go, yeah, you were in church. And he is going, oh, no. It was not me. I was not in church. I go, oh, no, it was you. You were in church. And his girlfriend going, well, we're going to go to a wedding. Maybe that's what your dream was about. I said, no, no, no. This was a church, and bad things were happening. There were earthquakes and floods and crumbling. And Jeff came crawling and getting his heart right with the Lord. I go, that was my dream. And, yes, it was you. So, I mean, and I don't have a fear to share those things anymore. They happen. I just do them. Now, what effect that'll have on Jeff, I don't know, but Jeff knows me. I mean, he knows. He knows what I stand for. He knows what I believe. He knows what I do, you know. So, and it's just that kind of thing that seems to be my ministry right now. But I don't know. Maybe God will move me off someplace else and do something different. I don't know. But anyways, it's exciting. It's exciting, but you can't. It's got to be this. It's got to be God's word. It has got to be God's word. I, too, want to be so full of God's word that then these things just happen. That's what I want. Because if you're going to be full of a book, a secular book, or you're going to be full of a religious book that tells you you have to believe this certain way, or you're going to be full of someone's teaching that came down through the church, that just is not going to cut it. That is just not going to cut it. It's got to be God's word. It's got to be truth. It's got to be light. And we just need to seek it. We just need to seek it. We need to seek it. We need to seek it. And then we need to get full of it. And then we get to have that light. And then we get to pass the light around. And we need to keep that little light burning because it'll shine and it'll scare away the darkness. So anyway, yeah, prosperity is something to worry about, because I know that when I was poor, I've been poor and I've been rich. And rich is way easier, so let me tell you. It's way easier. Poor is way easier to seek God. It is way easier to seek God. I just know that to be true. And so I'm not really worrying that all this prosperity is going to come. I'm thinking I probably make it slip back into the poor, and then that'll be good for me. That'll be good for me, because then I'll really be seeking God all the more. But anyway, yeah, it's exciting times, isn't it? Yeah, we have something to look forward to. And it's, you know, there's no doom and gloom. There's whatever God has planned for us, and that's exciting. Amen.
It's bad form to kind of piggyback on someone's testimony, but Gene loves me, so I'm going to do that. I don't know that we got the full revelation of her testimony, because she went back to a certain point and said, you know, from this point on, this is what happened. But a little bit prior to that, just before Charlie retired, Jean was doing what Jean does a lot, which is walking in faith. And so on a bright, sunny day in May, she's out walking up the street that I drive down, and as I got close to her, meaning within 100 feet, she started moving way off of the road onto the shoulder, because she couldn't really see the car. She couldn't see the car. She could make out that something sort of was moving. I never got within 30 feet of her, and she had already moved off the road, thinking that this car was close to her. And we stopped and talked.
I said, "Oh, is that you, Courtney?"
Could almost pick out the color of the car and say, "That looks like Seaver's car." My point is, you know, I praised Gene. I prayed for Gene after that and said, "Lord, heal her. She's gone from not being able to see cars to driving one." So I don't know about just not being able to see things on a card. We're talking about not being able to pick out a car. So in my mind, it's just not this. It's this. And praise God. So apologize for embellishing. But my God is not this kind of God. He is this kind of God. And we need to remember this kind of things when they happen. We are spending some time today talking about our favorite subject that we can't grapple with, which is God and time. And I love it because I can't, you know, we could talk about it, but we're not going to necessarily resolve anything. And it's true, you know, people shortly after Christ was on the face of the earth thought he was coming back right away. And we go, well, 2,000 years have slipped by, and what's going on? And you go, you remember the twinkling of an eye, you know? Yeah, what's time to someone who's eternal? It's not, he's coming back right away. You have the problem. And it's not really a problem, but it is us continually trying to get out of our natural reference to our spiritual reference. I've been blessed today because I've been told it's okay not to act my age. I've been waiting for someone to give me that freedom, and today I got that. So now it's like, good, you idiot. Well, I don't know any better because I'm not acting my age. I'm not letting age be a problem anymore. You know, you should have enough seasoning now not to know to do that. You know, and I'd argue that it's kind of funny. It goes the other way. You know, kind of you get up to a spot and then all of a sudden you start making bad choices, not paying enough attention to your age. Like, yeah, you know, there's going to be a point where Ken goes after something in a dumpster and he'll go, eh, this probably wasn't a good idea. But that day hasn't come yet. And let's thank God for that. One other thing that occurred to me as we were talking about, you know, this excitement, and I feel it too. And I just want to make a statement this way, and I'm not saying anybody didn't, but I think the goal is to save or encourage one soul at a time. Because that's how God does it. One at a time. I fall into, gee, wouldn't it be nice if I get the old 100 for one beggar? You know, one speech, 100 souls. It's economies, efficiency. God's heart is just one at a time. And that's the way I want my heart to be. A couple weeks ago, I was asked to officiate a wedding. Now, for my brother. Okay, I know there's the worldly things and the spiritual things, and I think about this and I go, don't know that I'm really quite the, quote, man of the cloth to be able to do that. Yet, the takeaway from that is the people who were asking me to thought I was showing enough of God that they thought that would be good enough. So, who am I? If this is what God wants, then this is what they have, you know, it's like, okay. Well, maybe this is their way to avoid talking to a real priest and not having to go through that. I don't know. I mean, there's the yin and the yang of that whole deal. I don't want to have to talk to some guy and ask him if I think this, because I don't want to admit that. I don't know. But I found out about that. And that's fine. But the point for bringing it up was not It's not so much how wonderful it is, just so much that, you know, it has been my heart, and I think it's all of our hearts, is to let people see God in me. And maybe that is just one other example of someone seeing what God is doing by us staying on the track here of looking after the scriptures the way we are. So I'm excited. And Gene is right. It is, and as I mentioned it the other day, you know, glory if you can praise God from the valleys. Glory if you can walk like Job and still have a heart of Job. Because, you know, thanking God after you win the lottery is not a real deep conviction. You know, thank you for all this money and now I don't need to worry about anything. Not so much. Not quite the same thing. It is good. I don't know exactly what God's plan is and what he's given us. And we've asked the question out loud and in our prayer closets, I'm sure, you know, Lord, thank you for giving us the revelation of getting to know who you really are and to truly seek your heart. What do you want me to do with this? What do you want me to do with this? And jumps into our other common conversation around here is about how much patience do I have to wait on you to tell me what you want me to do with this. But I believe it is part of his plan, and I believe it is exactly what we need it to be. And I continue to remain excited for that. Briefly on my little walk, I am being tested both in the natural and then going back to the spiritual. And, you know, I know, you know, the really tough thing is when you know what your choice should be and you're not really willing to make that choice. I know this is what I, you know, if I really wanted to be Christ-like, this is how I would handle this. And then that you go, you know, that's really not fair. That's really not, I don't know if that balances out. I don't know if that, how is this right? How is this just? And then you come back and you go, where was that promise? Where was it promised that it would be right or just? It's just promised it's going to be. I'm closer to being happy doing what I know I need to do. But I'm still struggling with not being happy with it. And things will become clear, you know, before the end of the month. And, it truly is God's plan. I truly am accepting of that. I truly want to be happy with that. I'm almost there. But God is good. And he's good, and I see it in all of you all the time. Appreciate your willingness to share your heart and help me stay focused on where I need to be.
Somebody made the comment, and I can't remember who it was, something about this verse kind of looking like almost a one-of-a-kind. But the thing is, one of the reasons that I felt really excited to put it up is because in every translation that I could find, it says the same thing. It's just like 1 John 4, 1 through 3. That pretty much says the same thing in all the translations. And but the thing about this scripture in 1 Timothy is that the fact, I mean, we know it says the same thing in every translation that we can find, but the thing that is so amazing about it is that all of the rest of the scriptures support it. This is plain. A lot of the other verses aren't so plain, but after you read them a while and you look at them,
they say the same thing. You know, was it Ken that was talking about the fact that he was a mediator? You know, well, one mediator. But it talks about him in Hebrews, and I think, you know, he was in Hebrews 8 or something, where it refers to Christ as a Hebrew, as a mediator. And so, and it refers to him as a man. Over and over and over and over and over. And he even makes a statement and he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Why does he say the Son of Man returning? That's not the image that most people have. They're looking for a God to come back. But he doesn't say that he's going to come back as a God. As a matter of fact, it tells us in 1 John 3, it says it has not yet appeared what we're going to be like. But when he comes back, we're going to be like him. You know what I mean? These verses all agree with 1 Timothy 2. And so, this is a simple one. This is a plain one. This is an easy one. But it is not an isolated setting. All of the scriptures support it. And you read Romans 6, where it talks about being baptized into his name, or into him, you know, into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so if that's why we're baptized, if that's the case, then we have to do something else with the thought pattern that is associated with Matthew 28:19. You know, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then there has to be some reconciliation. There's got to be something associated. We can't have two different ways of baptizing. Or the fact that every place in the book of Acts, they all baptize in Jesus' name. Or that it says that we're baptized into his death. And it's like, somehow we got to make the association. Are you following what I'm saying? I think, come on up, Kim. I think the scripture Ken was talking about, before Zion travails, she brought forth her children. Is that the one you're talking about in Isaiah 66? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is an obscure little spot that it just popped out. I thought it was in the Old Testament. But
pretty sure it was. I felt like I needed to bring a little footnote to the, you know, our physical condition and everything. You know, I was sitting there thinking, well, I know lots of guys that actually ride their bike more than I do that are my age or older, you know. But here's the thing. They ought to be saying thank you to God also because they're being blessed, you know. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I know about every one of you. That if that doesn't happen and that changes, you aren't going to speak any different. You're still going to give glory to God and you're still going to bless God. And I've dealt with that as best as I can. That, Lord, I know you've blessed me that I can do so many of these things still. But if that's taken away, I am still going to proclaim your name and your word. And that will be a blessing also. You know, like so many have done in the Old Testament and people before us, you know, and whatever. So, yep, whatever. It doesn't matter. And so the good part is I know, the really good part is that I know that about every one of you. Because some of you have already displayed it. Keith, Jean, I mean, I live next door and I would see her and I would just, I'd just go, I don't believe this woman. Her attitude is so good. She's half blind, or three quarters blind for a while. And I blessed be, you know. And it made me get a little bit out of any little self thing I was in, I'll tell you that, you know. About some little ache or pain or whatever, you know. So, it's kind of like, I've been wondering about, you know, what do you do about, I have ringing in the ears, you know, and for years I never knew. I used to sit out in the woods. This is so silly. I'd be sitting in the woods, and it was so quiet. And I would hear this, and I thought, my, I'm actually hearing the woods and everything is just talking. No, it's my ears were ringing. I didn't realize that for such a long time. And I thought I was really tuned in. And then I was over at Trace's, and he had bought these little ear protector muffs for Beckett when they went hunting, goose hunting or something, you know. And he bought the kind that actually enhances your hearing, so you can sit and you can hear it. And it's amazing. I mean, I put them on, and you'd walk, and it's like you'd just be hearing all these tiny little noises that you wouldn't hear. But at the same time, it was like, I went, well, I don't know if this is going to work for me, because this is really amplifying the ringing in my ears. So, and I'm thinking, what happens if that keeps getting worse? I don't know, but I'll learn to live with it one way or another with God's help. So, you know, it's not like I'm not perfect physically, you know. It's just, and it's funny. I've thought, now you have this going on. How do you lay down and go to sleep at night? Well, I manage to do it every night. So, you know, it's just something that you learn to cope with. And everybody's got their little things, you know. But God bless you all. I said I was working with Pablo, and he shared with me. He said, "Yeah, you know." He said, "Somehow we thought about, you know, having savings or a retirement plan or whatever. Ah, I'm just going to work till I can." And I was going to maybe exhort him a little to get a plan. But the whole thing, I thought. And he goes, "No, I want to be able to work until I'm dead, if that need be the case." And I thought, glory, what a good attitude, you know. When most of it, you know, and me for a while, I mean, I couldn't wait to get out of what I was doing. But it was because it was physically bringing me down, and mentally it was, the stress was, you know. And it didn't mean I didn't want to work. I just didn't want to work there anymore, you know. And obviously, that's true, because I'm still working, you know, but not full-time. And I found I've gotten a couple times here where I went a whole week maybe not doing anything. I'm going, this can't go on. For one, I'll be 30 pounds too heavy. And it's just like you just start getting almost depressing. It's no fun to just be sitting and doing nothing, you know. As much as I like my recliner, it's only for certain periods of the day, you know. But glory, and I'm glad that everyone's feeling an excitement, because I want to say something here. I don't know if Larry, and so you can hear me, and Chuck. I don't know how this sits with you, but God is going to touch you, and I don't know how that registers. So I don't want you to feel anything negative if we want to pray with you, you know. But God's going to touch you, both. I really feel that. Because I believe God is a rewarder of those who are faithful. And these two have been faithful. You know, whatever, and I'm not putting them at whatever level they're, it just doesn't matter. They've been faithful. And I believe God will honor that.
Just to tack on something to that, imagine the kind of ministry that would be available to both Larry and Chuck if God chose to use them. You know? What a great ministry that would be. That would just absolutely great.
Well, I don't want to lift Chuck up. Chuck has a ministry.
Yeah.
He waits on Keith and I. Anything that we can't do, Chuck, reach this. Chuck, shovel that. Chuck. And he's on call all the time. Never gives a slip or anything. He just does it. He doesn't talk a lot. Sometimes you gotta ask him something so he could talk. But he has been a real blessing to us. And I can see why God brought him to us. He's been with us since he was, what, 1.5? 1.5. And Jeff was 3, I think, and Steve was 5. But they all call us Mom and Dad. We're their mother and dad. And I think Pablo can even say he helps Pablo once in a while. And we ask him, how did you go, or what did you do today? Oh, we just rode around in the truck. And I said, well, didn't you go to work? I think so. But every time we ask him, well, what did you do today with Pablo? Just rode around in the truck. So his memory is failing, but he's healthy as 4 horses. He really is. Eats good, sleeps good, and he's not a problem. It's just that we've got to ask him a couple times so he knows something. But, no, he has been a real blessing to us. Thank the Lord. I think the Lord arranged all this.
I'll tell you something else about Chuck that maybe we don't know, but Chuck has had the good fortune, the blessing of God, to be listening to the Scripture day and night for 16, 17 years. And so you think, well, Chuck has a memory problem, but you know what? The spirit doesn't necessarily have a memory problem. Amen. And so a lot of the scriptures, and I've tried it a lot of times with him, I'll start a scripture and he'll finish it. I'll start another one and he'll finish it. And we go through these little things every so often. And, you know, so God is still doing a work. Irregardless. So if there was an immediate healing, he could probably be stand up and start preaching the scriptures. So anyway, any other additions? Yeah, you got anything he said? Let's come up to the front.